I'm excited today to bring you God's Word. We're in this season of Pentecost. It's this season of this disciples having received the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, being empowered by the Spirit to go forth and do the will of God on earth. We live in that same season. Every day of our lives is lived in the season of Pentecost as we strive to grow closer to Jesus, be empowered by the Spirit of Jesus, do the will of Jesus, grow the kingdom of Jesus. And so we celebrate the opportunity to be part of that, whether it's growing the kingdom in Japan or over at Bethany Bible Camp right now that's going on. And by the way, I texted Luke this morning as I snuck away from there to come here briefly and then go back there this afternoon. But he said they had a wonderful night, or actually fantastic night, fantastic start to the new day. So God is on the work there with record numbers of kids. What's that tell us? There's a hunger for God. Kids wanting to give up a week of their lives to go pursue God. We're not a camp that offers horseback riding or jet skiing or water skiing or all the frills and things. We offer the Word of God and relationships with other Christians. And kids are drawn to it by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to be praying for the high schoolers who are there now. I started yesterday, we'll go through Thursday. Then I encourage you to be praying for those who are going to our Free Lutheran Youth Convention, FLY we call it. They leave next Sunday morning at 7 a.m. here, a lot earlier for those churches off to the east. And then we'll come back late Sunday the following week, Sunday the 9th. So I'll be gone two Sundays, but we've got a great preacher lined up for you by the name of Dale Finstrom, I believe it is. So you can look forward to being fed well in my absence. God is working. Is he working in you? Are you sensing it? During the season of Pentecost and the focusing on the work of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to recognize that the Bible talks about things that we do to respond to God. And sometimes we get things reversed in our mindset, because from a human perspective, it is us doing something, us pursuing God. But in reality, God is the one who's been at work. God is the one that's pursued us. God is the one that's rescuing us. God is the one that's drawing us closer to himself. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved. It is the gift of God, not of your own. It's the miracle of God drawing you to himself. It's not a result of our own works, our own efforts. It's not as if we were smart enough, strong enough, people of faith enough that we could see God. Salvation is a gift from God. You would never be in church if God hadn't called you to himself. You would never put your faith and trust in him if God hadn't called you to himself. God is the pursuer of us. Throughout the scriptures, the analogy of us and God is depicted as a sheep and a shepherd. A sheep and a shepherd. Wolfie, would you turn off the lights? I want to show you a little clip of what it's like. We're not sheep who are so smart we go and find our God. We are sheep in need of rescue. Some of you maybe have saw this before. It's kind of like me. The shepherd is reaching down into a trench at him and dug to put in a new pipeline. And this sheep somehow is falling down in there. And this guy is reaching deep down inside to try to grab that sheep and pull it out. It's a tough job to rescue that sheep. There's no way that sheep survives if this shepherd doesn't come along and yank and pull and almost rip that leg off, but trying to rescue that sheep. And he finally gets that woolly thing out and it runs away because he's scared. He's scared and he jumps right back into the trench. That's just like me. And it's just like Randy, and it's just like you. We think we know where to go. And God needs to pull us out of the trench. And what do we do afterwards? We jump right back in. God is the rescuer. God is the pursuer. God is the one who finds the sheep in a trench or in a thicket with its wool caught in the thorns, and God rescues. But how does God rescue? One of the fascinating things of Scripture is how God works to put within us a desire. He puts it within us a desire, and that desire we might think is something that we worked up, but it's really God creating it in us. Psalm 63:1 reads, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Hunger and thirst. Are those bad things? Sometimes we think of hunger as being bad or thirst as being bad. But in reality, they are gifts from God that cause us to know in the physical, we need to feed ourselves. We need to drink water. If we're not hungry or not thirsty, that's a sign of something being wrong. I know it's common after the hospice nurse explained it to me, but my mom in her last days refused to be fed. We would feed her ever so carefully things that were easy to swallow. But eventually she stopped even allowing us to do that. It's a common sign of being near the end of one's life that you lose your hunger. I learned from Ray Stromstead that as you get older, you lose the craving of thirst even. And older people need to be reminded to drink water on a regular basis. And by the way, Dad, coffee does not count as water. Now, hunger and thirst are good things, gifts from God in the physical and gifts from God in the spiritual. God puts within us a desire, and then we seek Him. Let me give you an illustration from my own life. I'm in college, and all of a sudden, I have this intense desire to pursue this girl who's the most beautiful girl on campus. And so I do what I can to try to get her attention and try to grow closer to her, and I eventually work up enough nerve, and I call her up. I say, would you go on a date with me on this Friday? And she turns me down. But she turned me down in a way that kind of encouraged me to try again. So I said, well, would you go on a date with me next Friday, a week later? And she turned me down. Now, being turned down would usually cause me to give up. But she turned me down in a way that encouraged me to try again. Maybe she said something like, oh, I'd love to, but I've got another date already scheduled. And so I don't know how many I went through, at least three, maybe 12 different dates that I proposed there. And eventually she said there was an opening on her schedule. And I'm pretty sure that after we finally went on that date, she stopped saying no to all those other guys that were pursuing her. But was I pursuing her? Or was she, apparently this is what you really need to hear, as the volume just went up. Or was she wooing me? See, I'm a guy, I'm not always alert to things. I think there were things being communicated that caused me to want to pursue. Now, she'll never admit that in her coyness, but I think it might have been the case. And so there's a hint to you girls out there that guys sometimes need to be reminded that while they are the hunters and gatherers that must go out and provide meat for their family, that they like the idea of a pursuit, they really need the deer to come out and say, here I am. Okay, spiritually now. The Holy Spirit draws us to God. The Holy Spirit puts within us a desire to know God, to seek God. He puts within us a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst. And when He does that, we want to respond to that. We want to do the thing He's prompting us to do. It's not just that God does it and we don't do anything. It's that God starts it and we respond. We obey. God puts a hunger and so We feed ourselves. God puts a thirst, so we drink. God puts a desire for the most beautiful girl on campus, so we reach out, make a phone call. We do what we need to do in the physical, and we now need to do in the spiritual. God calls, we respond. Will you respond to God? Will you allow God to create within in you this hunger? Would you be like a deer that's panting for flowing streams, that pants for God, that thirsts for God, the living God, who cries out, when can I come and appear before God? When can I be in the presence of God? The hunger of God can be contagious, or it can be diminished. Our role as parents and our role as friends and our role as people of the church is to allow ourselves to grow in our hunger for God so that others around us develop a greater hunger for God. You might think that your ministry is not as valuable or as dynamic as it once was, as you had more energy and more abilities, but maybe your greatest ministry right now is to be hungry for God. Because that hunger is contagious. When you get more hungry and you eat God, there's a miracle that happens. When you get more thirsty and you try to drink God, when you have a growing desire for God and you pursue God, one of the amazing things that happens is that your hunger increases. Your thirst increases. Your desire increases. God is feeding you. God is giving you nourishment. God is giving you water. God is giving you Himself. And as you receive more, you want more. It's like this deepening cycle of you pursue, God gives, and then you have intense desire for more, and you keep growing in your hunger and in your nourishment, in your thirst, and then your satisfaction in your desire, but also in your receiving. I think the capacity you have for God is bigger than you realize. So God wants to put within you an increasing hunger, an increasing thirst for Him so you'll pursue Him more. And He'll keep intensifying that so you'll grow deeper and deeper and deeper in your pursuit of Him. There's a picture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Moses is explaining that God humbled you and let you hunger. And then He fed you with something you had never seen before, so you called it manna, which means, what is it? Isn't that a comical picture of God? God humbled you, let you hunger, and then fed you with something you'd never seen before, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, so that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Hunger can draw us close to God. Hunger is a place of humility. It's a place that keeps us in a place of dependency. The hunger then enables us to dream, to desire, to want. It's a motivation to move forward deeper into God. That's one of my prayers for you. It's one of my prayers this week for our campers or at Bethany Bible Campus. One of my prayers for those who are going down to Costa Rica, those who are serving in Japan. It's my goal for the people in Congo I've been ministering to in August, that God will be creating a hunger for Him. And then He'll meet that hunger. The psalmist said again in Psalm 143, I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as in a parched land. Jesus talked about meeting this thirst and this hunger for Him. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. One day, when we're in His presence, the hungering and thirsting we have here will reach a consummation. We'll be in His presence and we'll be enjoying His forever nearness and closeness. We'll be in an intimate relationship with Him where the gap has been removed and we're drawn close. Then and only then will this thirst and this hunger go away as we are in perfect communion with Him. Until that point, we pray and ask God for hunger and for thirst. In the book of Psalms, we read that the bride is to call out and hear the bridegroom saying, "Come to me. Let him who hears me come. Let him who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life from me." We are called to intimacy. But it's God starting it. It's God beginning the work. It's God doing in us so that we want to pursue Him. We grow in this relationship. We grow closer to Him. The Apostle Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Maybe it was reading this that prompted me to give this answer, but last night as the staff was gathering at Bethany Bible Camp, before we really kicked things off, Luke was leading the team in a little get to know each other. It says, "Introduce yourselves, tell where you're from, tell what ministry you have at camp this week, and tell what your favorite sound is." Your favorite sound. So they're going around and different people are saying different funny things, and I had this picture come to my mind. I said, my favorite sound was when my wife was holding an infant and the infant was gulping. Now, some of the women knew that sound. A lot of the teens yet hadn't heard that. But what a sound. An infant trying to swallow God's provision of sustenance. A gulping. I think God wants us to be like infants who are craving spiritual milk. And then God wants to provide what we need so that we just can hardly keep up. We got to gulp it down. Now, I had another memory as I was telling that story. I said, but don't try to do that in a quiet movie theater when you go on your first date after your firstborn is born. Don't do it then. Because in the silent moment of the movie, that sound can be heard quite far. People start looking over. But we want to be people who are hungering and thirsting and allowing God to give us what He alone can give us. A.W. Tozer was really a prophet who spoke a generation ago. He said, "Salvation from our side is a choice, but from the divine side, salvation is a seizing upon, an apprehending, a conquest." Did you get those three things? From God's perspective, salvation is a seizing upon, an apprehending, a conquest by the Most High God. Our accepting and our willing and our reactions rather than are prompted by His actions. So I want to encourage you to be people who receive this gift from the Holy Spirit, this gift of hunger and thirst, and then allow God to increase it in you. And be people who say, "God, I'm hungry, make me more hungry. I'm thirsty, make me more thirsty. Meet my needs. Draw me closer to you." Let me tell you a few things on how to become hungry for God. Number one, feed yourselves from God's Word. The more you consume of God's Word, the greater your hunger for God will be. You'll be satiated, but yet made more hungry. You'll be fed, but yet want more of God. We want to be people who are feeding ourselves from God's Word. "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." From Jeremiah 15. So we become people of the Word. The more we eat, the more we want. The more we want, the more we seek. The more we seek, the more we receive. And the cycle deepens. Second thing to do as you seek to increase your hunger is repentance. Repentance. When we seek God and God speaks to us, become aware of things that we've done which are displeasing to Him. Whenever God does that, we want to turn away from those, admit those, and turn towards God instead. We want to be people who are quick to repent, who are sorrowful over our lack of godliness, and are people who pursue Him with diligence, repentance. Number three, we can ask God to give us the gift of hunger. I invite you today to take this risk. Ask God to give you the gift of hunger. Hunger is the will of God for our life, so we know we can ask it of Him. Fourthly, expose yourselves to the move of the Holy Spirit. Put yourself in a position, in an environment, where God is at work, the Holy Spirit is at work, He's doing things, and as you get into that environment, your hunger for God will increase. It's kind of like getting close to the restaurant that's pumping out the aroma of its freshly cooked food. The freshly baked bread, the roasting steak on the grill. As that wafts towards us, it elicits in us a desire, a hunger. So too, when we see God at work, hear about God at work, experience God at work around us, we want more. Expose yourselves to the move of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the reasons why I encourage everyone to go on a missions trip regularly. It's one of the things that keeps drawing me back to Africa, is that God's on the move there in these different environments, and I want to be in the midst of it, in the thick of it. The reality is that Kinshasa is a hellhole of a city in this area where the smoke never dissipates. It's constant haze. But when I finally get into the church buildings there and the congregation gathers, there's an intense hunger for Him that these people have. And it's contagious. As they're hungry, God then gives me by His Spirit the words to feed them with. And there's this deepening cycle. It's a miracle that is... It's really an adrenaline rush, a spiritual adrenaline rush. So expose yourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. Number five, expose yourself to those who have had encounters with God and who have been greatly used by God. You can hang around people whom God is working through. Let them influence you. Let them be an encouragement to you. When you read the stories of those who are hungry for God, even if we can find their autobiographies, it too will work to increase our hunger for Him. Number six, stop feeding ourselves things that only placate or push down or cover up our true hunger. This one is crucial for us. We live in an age of distraction. Sure, in previous generations, people worked long and hard. But sometimes in the midst of their working, they could be moving inward and upward in their heads, in their hearts, in their spirits. They could be manually laboring, but inside worshiping. But we in this current generation are bombarding ourselves with stimuli from video of one kind or another, and it's keeping us placated. It's keeping us distracted. If we want to be people who are growing in our hunger for God and our encounter of God, we want to stop feeding ourselves that which takes away our spiritual hunger. Stop eating the junk food. Stop filling our eyes with things that only distract temporarily. We want to be people who are creating space for God to be heard and God to be responded to. Number seven, related to this, the practice of fasting. The practice of fasting. I encourage you every January to join me in a 3-week fast. It's a season of removing things intentionally so that there's space for God. But it doesn't only have to be in January. You could go through a day of fasting every week. You could go through a week of fasting every couple of months or so. It's a carving out of space in your life for God. Then number eight, do something for Jesus. I'm excited for those who are going on our missions trip coming up soon. I'm excited for those that are serving at our Bible camp currently and who just completed that. When you do something for Jesus, You become dependent upon Jesus to do something in you. Is that true of our missionaries? Is that true of those who step out and go to Guatemala or Costa Rica? Is it true of those that are willing to try to lead a cabin full of teenage boys? When you do something, you put yourself in a position for you to encounter God, hear God, and He increases in you that hunger for Him. Finally, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me will never thirst. One day we'll be fully satisfied. Until that day, we pray, God, make me hungry for you. God, feed me. Let's pray that right now. Will you pray after me? Take my words and make them your own. Heavenly Father, please make me hungry for you. Lord God Almighty, please make me thirsty for you. Holy Spirit, empower me to have this deep within reaction to you that's a craving for you. And then, God Almighty, as I hunger and as I thirst and as I crave, would you fill me, feed me, nourish me. May there be a deepening cycle inside of me of wanting you, receiving you, and wanting you some more. Spirit of God, we invite you to do this miracle in us that makes us want you. And then, Holy Spirit, do this miracle in us that enables us to turn away from the distractions and turn away from the world and turn away from those things that are sucking up our time and energy and focus on you. To receive you, to receive from you, to hear your words, sense your guidance, be empowered by your Spirit. And Lord, do whatever it takes to do this in us. Put us in situations where our dependency upon you is increased and recognized. Enable us to step out in faith, aware that then you meet us in new and powerful ways. We want to be people who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, for then we are blessed. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.